Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands.
And our favors,
our
favors. We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a
hand,
remembering our favors.
You know, it seems like we've all been conditioned by calendars and dates.
Won't you live and see?
But there's no time,
no,
like the present,
no time
to give love,
to give love
and not hate.
Just give love.
And if we could just embrace our difference, always be something.
There'll always be something.
You know, each soul has its own goal, but to him, we all
can
must
be.
So why don't you give love?
We're friends.
We're your neighbor.
We're your neighbor.
And we'll lend a
hand.
Lend a hand.
And welcome again on this beautiful Sunday morning. Our radio listening audience, we welcome you to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, A Reality of the Creator. We want to thank you very much for joining us this morning and ask you to invite those of your friends and neighbors who are not familiar with our show to join us likewise as we bring to you another great discussion today of Imam Shahid Shabazz, and that would be part two, A World Without Spiritual Enlightenment. And we don't need to say any more about that, do we? As we can all see, and we are all experiencing this world today that we live in, and the many problems that are brought about because we have gone straight from the right path. So today, people, we're going to sit back and enjoy the spiritual discussion, but it is your show. We expect you, we want you to participate, to give us the feedback, to listen and join us. And let it be not Imam Shahid Shabazz's discussion, but our discussion, your discussion, and just enjoy each other as we feed each other the enlightenment of truth and knowledge that we need to help inspire us and give us the energy to get us up and start us to move and to work together and make this world a better place to live. So we want to thank you again for joining us this morning as we bring to you our talk show from Imam Shahid Shabazz, Reality of the Creator. Now, a little about our discussion today, part two, A World Without Spiritual Enlightenment. Most people in this world have lost touch with reality. Most people have made this world their paradise. So, because this world is only an illusion, it can only be a fool's paradise. Allah says in his spiritual book, the Quran, that the root of all evil is the love of this false world. This is nothing new. This is just history repeating itself. Study history, and you will see that all past generations that forgot the Creator also lost the ability to understand right from wrong. Allah sent his truth to all people. people by way of his messengers. But, like the people in the past, most people today reject the law and his messengers. So they are left in spiritual darkness. Only the law of truth can bring this world back to spiritual light and guidance. Again, we have a very, very much needed discussion that's right on time today for the world that we are living in. And we want to bring to you, Master, each of us, to give us this information, to give ring to us this truth, and to let us know what is needed, what is missing from all these formulas that they're given to us for improving our lives and living and doing better in life. What's missing that we are not being successful as we should be? So now I bring to you, without any further delay, Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Yes, again, I say for those who don't know what assalamu alaikum means, it means the peace of Allah or the Creator be upon you. I was just sharing with someone, assalam. Assalam is one of the titles of the qualities of the attributes of Allah, the Creator. He's the peace. You can get no peace in the creation of Allah. You only get peace from the Creator of creation. He's the one that put peace in all his creation. With that said, we want to start and finish with the opening prayer of the Holy Quran, the final revelations Allah, the Creator, revealed as guidance to humankind and as a book to bless us to be able to distinguish right from wrong. And as a mercy for those who believe in Allah, the Creator, the unseen Creator of the heavens and earth. You can't see Allah. So this prayer will, as Brother Imam Abdul Karim said last week, this prayer actually will take you all the way to paradise. It'll help you get through all the evil in this world. It'll help you to prepare yourself for the real life in the hereafter. It has everything all in it to save you and protect you from going astray once Allah or your Creator guides you. It's one thing to be blessed to be guided to the straight path of Allah. It's another thing to be blessed to be able to stay on the straight path. It's not easy, but it can be done because those before us did it. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, did it. We can do it. So we're going to say it in Arabic. And then we'll translate it in English, inshallah. We'll open with that. The opening prayer. Bismillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Ihdina sirata mustaqeen. Sirata alladheen amta alayhim. Amen. We just said, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to Allah, the guardian, the barber, the cherisher, and sustainer of all worlds and all systems of knowledge. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. We ask Allah to show us the straight way, the way that leads to Allah, and protect us from the crooked way that leads us astray from Allah, that causes us to incur or bring on Allah's wrath on us because we break his laws. We ask him to protect us from being of those people. Amen. With that said, we want to briefly read from the Holy Quran, the clear and final revelations of Allah, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, for all humankind. When I say humankind, one sister told me, she said, Elijah Muhammad said that everybody walking in a human form ain't human. And he was absolutely right, because most people, Allah say, in a human body on the earth today, if it's 8 billion, Allah say, but one out of every 1,000 are spiritual human beings, and the others are jinns, evil spirits. And you can see that more today now than ever before. So what we're going to read from Allah's beautiful book is Surah 2, Al-Baqarah. It's called, and it is about Father Ibrahim, or Abraham. He's the founding father for Jews, Christians, and Muslims, and all religious people of what? Ahad, a monotheism, the oneness of the Creator for everybody. Everybody got one Creator, no matter what name you want to call him. He's one. And he say to that fact, if it was more than one Creator, you would see confusion in the heavens and the earth, but you don't see confusion. Also, Allah say, if you don't believe that he's in total control of the heavens and the earth, he said, look upon the earth and look up in the heavens and go all over it, scan all over the earth. He said, your vision will come back to you dull and discomforted in a state worn out, because you won't find any flaws in his work. His work is perfect. He is perfect without any flaws. The flaws is not in his creation. The flaws is in the evil that's foreign to his creation. And that evil is not only in Satan and the jinns, the evil spirits that follow him that we can't see, that those flaws are in human beings. We are not perfect. We, Allah say, are created weak in flesh. So, you know, today, most people, they want to act like they their own God, like they don't have to answer to a higher authority, a higher power. But even though they have this mentality, most of them, they still benefit from the one that they reject. They reject Allah. And like the sister said earlier, most Muslims and people in general act like they're already in paradise. They say they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. Die what? They don't want to die to this world. And Allah, the sister said in the beginning, this world ain't real, it's false. Allah said in the Quran, this world is empty, meaning that everything in it, including our body, is nothing but an illusion. It ain't even real. It's just a test. It's an illusion. So I'm going to start from the Quran about Prophet Ibrahim, where this man wanted to try to say he was God, and Prophet Ibrahim used the truth of Allah to show that no human being can be a God. It said in Allah's book, we ask Allah to protect us from the evil Satan as we read his words, so he can't interfere with you all getting clarity in Allah's word, as it's clear. Behold, Abraham said, my Lord, show me how thou givest life to the dead. He said, Allah said, though thou not then believe, he said, yes, but to satisfy my own understanding, take four birds, tame them to turn to thee, put a portion of them on every hill, and call to them, they will come to thee flying with speed. Then know that Allah is exalted in power, all wise. This was not the exact same surah I was particularly talking about, but we will elaborate on this briefly. What this is saying is that our Prophet Ibrahim, he believed in Allah. He trusted in Allah, but he just wanted to satisfy his own understanding how Allah, you know, go bring people forth from the dead on the day of resurrection. So Allah is so merciful. He granted him that request. He told him, and I was raised up this way. I done did this, me and my brother. If you tame birds, if you tame them, you raise them and you train them, and you let them go, and you call them, they'll come back to you. Me and my brother done that many times. So what Allah is saying is that he created you, your nature. He created your body. And he say, when that day come when you die, or every human being, and the trumpet is blown by that angel that blow that trumpet for us to rise from the dead, he say, we're going to rise up from the dead. And he said he's exalted in power, all wise, and we're going to rise from the dead to be judged. This is also something I want to go on there, and it's included in the talk, the parable of those who spend their substance in the way of Allah is that of a grain. it groweth 7 ears, and each ear hath 100 grains. Allah giveth manifold, many times increased to those whom he pleaseth, and Allah careth for all, and he knoweth all things. Those who spend their substance in the cause of Allah and follow not up their gifts with reminders of their generosity or with injury, for them their reward is with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Kind words and covering of faults, covering of people's faults, are better than charity followed by injury. Allah is free of all wants, and Allah is most forbearing. I'm going to stop right there, and I just want to say that where I was talking about the surah, Prophet Abraham, this man was arguing with him about life and death, and Prophet Abraham say, Allah is the one that make the sun rise from the east. First he said, Allah is the one that give life and death. That's what Prophet Abraham said, peace be upon him. And the man said, I give life and death too, meaning that I bring life in the world and I can kill people too. Where Prophet Abraham said, Allah is the one that caused the sun to rise from the east. Do you cause the sun to rise from the west? So the man was confounded. He made a fool of himself. We don't have no power, people. The Imam taught at the Jummah, just coming off Hajj, peace be upon him, and may Allah accept his Hajj. He said, and I say this often, Allah say to show people down here that they don't have no power. That's why they're destroying each other, the majority of peoples. Because Allah said they think of themselves as self-sufficient, that they ain't got nobody, no higher power over them. This is my life. I do what I want to do. Allah said if all the people in the world got together and if they could create a fly, and if the fly was to take something from them, all the people in the world wouldn't have the power to take back what the fly took from them. Reason being is because the nature of the fly, Allah has created it with a digestive system. When it takes something, eat something, it immediately digests. When it takes it in, it immediately digests. So you can cut that fly open, dissect it, you won't get what it got from you. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam. I want to remind you, our radio listening audience, that you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. We come to you every Sunday morning at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for joining us this morning. And as you can see, we have another great discussion going today. And we do have some guests here in the audience that has been listening to Imam Shahid Shabazz. And we want to hear from them. So the first guest will be a 310. 654-6259. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Shagan Waldron. I'm calling from Inglewood, California. Once again, Imam, you have opened the doors to a very informative, intense conversation, talking about the Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. A lot of people, what they don't realize is he was one of the prophets, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, he was the only prophet that Allah referred to him a certain way. And the reason being is because he searched for Allah. He didn't have any examples in his tribe to look to as someone that worshiped properly to our Lord. So he knew the way they worshiped to the idols that was wrong, and he went in search of his Lord without any kind of guidance. He looked to the moon. Is that my Lord? No, that's not my Lord. It couldn't have created me, you know? He looked to every sign, and then he found his Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to him as a Khalil.
That's right.
Khalil. A close and intimate friend of his.
That's correct.
This is a close and intimate friend. Not a Sahaba, but a Khalil.
That's right.
And when he was tested, and he was the epitome of sacrifice. When he was tested, when the law asked him to sacrifice what? His son, right?
Yes.
To sacrifice his son, right? And then when he was, and what a lot of people are willing, his son was willing to be sacrificed.
That's right.
His son had so much talk. His son was willing. He said, "Man, yeah, you sacrificed me for our Lord."
That's right.
Right. And as you know, as the story goes on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, "Don't." The angel came, told him, "Don't sacrifice an animal." But the point I'm trying to get to is, it just wasn't any animal he had to sacrifice. It was an animal that was close to his family. It was an animal that he raised from birth, that was part of the family. You know how nowadays people have these animals that they're taking pictures with them. It's a close,
yes,
intimate part,
yes,
of their family. This was the animal,
right,
he had to sacrifice. You know? So,
yes.
So sacrifice, when we say sacrifice, is just not something that we today just say, okay, yeah, I'm going to sacrifice in the name of Allah, but it has to be something that's meaningful to us.
That's
you
right.
You have to sacrifice something that's meaningful to us. And that's the example,
that's right,
through the prophet Ibrahim that Allah has given us.
Yes.
You understand? So how are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing great, man. And, you know, I'm fired up. And like Obama said in this campaign, I'm fired up and ready to go. Hey, you know, we got... you know, and you sound like you are. You always are. And the talk is beautiful. And you was right. I just want to briefly mention Abu, our father Ibrahim, he is said to be Allah's Khalil, friend, intimate friend. And, you know, he is the founding father of monotheism, that is the oneness of the creator for everybody, for the Christian, Muslim, and Jew religion. You know, so as you was talking about him, I was thinking, he searched, like you say, in quest of Allah, because in his time, the people were idolaters. They worshiped idols, his father too. And he loved his father. And he wanted his father to accept Al-Islam, to accept the, once he found the oneness of Allah, he wanted his father to accept the oneness of Allah. But before we got to that point, like you were saying, he worshiped the Son, and he was sincere. He wasn't just worshiping these things because, like most people today, they want to do it. He was in sincere search of the Creator of everything in the heavens and the earth. So he began to worship the things in the earth, and what he said was when the Son said, he said, "This can't be my Lord because it's set. My Lord don't ever set. He's always present." And when the moon set, the moon went away, he said, "My Lord don't ever go away." So what he established for people is omnipresent, that the presence of Allah is always there. In fact, as the sister Omar, this whole world and everything in it is an illusion. Allah, even in this world, is the only reality. And everything, even ourselves, is only a reflection of Allah's intent. That's why everything in Islam is based on intent. Allah is that he intended to create the creation before he created it. He intended everything, and then he said, "Kun fayakun," be, and his intentions manifested in the heavens and the earth being created out of nothing. He created everything out of nothing. He just said, "Be." And it was. And I want to say to you all, Muslims in particular today, that a sister talked to me this morning, and she said, Allah says in the end of time of evil run on this earth, he said people will be committing horrific crime. We in that time. And at the same time, the sister said that Allah said that he's going to usher in his good as he destroy the evil he's issuing in, his good. He's going to bring this world back to the world he created in the beginning, and that was what? All good. It was a just world. Imagine this now. Allah said there once was a time in history that all people worship that say Allah's one, and they didn't see no color. There wasn't no black, white, Chinese. It was just one humanity, one creator, and one human spirit. And it's coming back to that before Allah say he destroyed this world right here. And it's coming fast because people are dying fast. And the sister also said, she said, you know, we said people are dying fast. And she said, I think Allah's shaking the good people with the bad people. I said, yes. Because the good and the bad people are only here for a trial, for test, to see if they were qualified for the real life, which is after this dead world. This ain't no life here in this world. If you're in this world and your mind is of this world, you're a Muslim, you're dead. But if you're a Muslim and your mind ain't of this world, but your mind is of Quran, your mind is of Hadith, and your mind is of the Sunnah of Rasulullah, prayers and peace be upon him, you're alive. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Nam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator, teaching today, teaching strong brothers and sisters. And we thank him on part two of A World Without Spiritual Enlightenment. And as I say, that subject speaks for itself. We don't need to go any further with that one because we all understand exactly what he means. And we want to thank our brothers from California. If there's any other comment that you would like to make at this time before we call someone else, brother, we have you back on the air to do that.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Yeah, you could go ahead and call someone else. I'm going to bring up the rear, as they say, inshallah.
Inshallah. All right. We have now here a guest, a beautiful guest, Imam, I believe that is Abdul Kareem from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Imam Shahid, host, how are you, brother? Alhamdulillah, very good listening to you this morning.
I'm great, brother. I'm fired up and ready to go. And
alhamdulillah.
And, you know, man, Islam, man, every day is just like I'm just coming into Islam. That's how Allah done blessed me in my 60s now. Like I'm a baby all over again. I mean, so, you know, Islam is so exciting to me because it's life. Islam is life, man. And you can't have life and be around here, you know, trying to get life out of dead things. And I mean, you know, so I'm just happy with the life of Allah in me, man. And so we want to hear from you. And like I said, we always are inspired by your talks, and then you talk on the regular anyway. So we want to let you go, brother. You come on. Give us some good news.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Well, it was wonderful listening to yourself and then the brother, Alhamdulillah, Shagan from California, with his additional enlightenment on Ibrahim, Alhamdulillah, who, like you said, is the father of the monotheistic religion, you know, the descendants, Esau, all were descendants of him, the Prophet Muhammad, still descendants, you know, from his lineage, and that's a mercy and a blessing, and getting everybody on that page is not easy, but, you know, Allah says in Quran, it's not going to be easy, that the Prophet's job was only to deliver the message clearly, and that's in Quran. And I want to read that and another hadith, another surah in Quran where it says what you said earlier about this world and this life. And in Surah 29, Al-Ankabut, Allah says in verse 64, he says clearly, and this is the meaning is translated, and this life of the world is only an amusement and a play. And that's an exclamation point after that because of the way it's said, that this life of the world is only an amusement and a play. verily the home of the hereafter, that is the life indeed. So this life that we live in here, this time that we spend here on this earth, Allah puts it as an amusement and a play.
That's right.
It's just temporary. It's not the real deal. It's not the reality, as you put it very often. Okay? It's just a play. Like, you know, somebody, you're sitting on the sideline and your kid's playing football in the game.
That's right.
That game is temporary. He can't say, Dad, this football game is my life. You know, I'm going to eat.
That's right.
Football. No, son. That helmet, those cleats, they coming off after the game, and you're going to go home and do whatever I tell you to do. You know,
That's right. That's us.
This is just amusement and a play, and verily, like absolutely, the home of the hereafter, that is the life indeed, if they but knew.
So that's
That's our eternal life. That's what we are really going for success in. And whether we win, you know, if you're playing a football game, you win, you lose, you win some, you lose some. Allah had battles, you know, where the prophet was in battles where he won some and he lost some. That's just this life. You want to win the final. You want to win the final, which is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us all to answer to him. Why did you?
That's right.
Did you worship me? Did you do what I asked you to do? Did you try? Did you try your best to follow, obey the messenger, to obey me by obeying my messenger? Did you obey Allah by obeying the messengers that he sent down? And all the messengers were on monotheism. All the messengers knew that this life was just temporary, that we have to answer directly to Allah, and that will be our permanent abode, either in paradise or in the fire. And when we have these discussions, and when you bring up, like, it's new every single time, I could hear something, alhamdulillah, I could hear something that you say about Ibrahim or one of our other great messengers or prophets who were sent, and it's like you hear it for the first time, because when you read it, you're reading it because Allah wants you to read it and to gain knowledge, and you have it one way. And then you'll hear somebody say it, somebody who fears Allah just as much as you do or more, say it, and you'll hear something completely different. And this is the blessings of the Quran, why we could just, in Ramadan, everybody may finish the Quran, but the following Ramadan, if you finish reading the Quran, you're going to get some whole new message or some new understanding from the Quran. So the reminder benefits the believers, and I love listening to the believers talk, especially when it's in a discussion format like this, where points can be raised and issues can be discussed, and we could all grow, inshallah, knowing that the conversation that we're having is pleasing to Allah and not pleasing
Allah
to the shaitan. Allah
exactly.
Because, see, I can go talk to my boys about the game and who the Panthers are playing this weekend and this and that, but I don't know if that conversation, is that a conversation that's going to please Allah? Okay? They're just doing your talk. You know, that's doing you doing. It's just this world, this world, this world. When we have conversations like this, where we start with the remembrance of Allah, we end with the remembrance of Allah, and we remember Allah from all throughout, in the beginning and in the end, by reading from His book, by following the practice of His messenger, then alhamdulillah, you know, at least I can say I did something good today, and then my prayer will come in, and I'll try to do something else good today, and inshallah, it'll be accepted. So, brother, I want you to continue, inshallah, and I just wanted to make that point that you consistently, regularly make, that the reality, that what we're here for, that what this whole, whether I'm going to live 60 years or 80 years or 100 years or 110 years, that's just 110 years of preparation. The real
deal, it is.
The real game, that's all it is, brother, because what I'm preparing for is much bigger than 70, 80, 110 years in this, on this planet, on this dunya, in this reality that we're living here. It's the reality of the hereafter, the day of judgment.
That's right.
Where sweat is going to be up, just people sweating is going to be up to people's necks, up to people's noses, and you're going to have to answer for everything you did. And the
That's
best
right.
thing, the best thing you could do or have done to you is to get your book of deeds, your book that has not missed a thing, your book of deeds handed to you in your right hand. The
That's
best
right.
outcome that you can get. And if it's not handed to you in your right hand, problem. You've got insurmountable problems. And we want
Correct.
To avoid that. And I look for that remembrance from this conversation and this knowledge that we're sharing back and forth. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Very well said and put, Brother Imam Abdul Kareem. Islam is so clear. You know, one of the titles of the Quran is Abiyana. May not be saying it exactly in Arabic, but that don't matter. The meaning is what matters. It's the clear evidence. And what is Allah mm-hmm. talking about when he say clear evidence? Allah say travel through the earth, and he say look at past generations. He say they rejected my message. They rejected my prophets. And they brought destruction on themselves. Allah say all the good that happens to us as humans comes from Allah. Allah is all good. And he say all the evil, all the corruption that happens to human beings come from our own self will and pride. When we think like Iblis though, we know better than our creator. He created us now. It's just like a car. Like you said about the football game, this is another analogy. I often speak about this. You know, the car manufacturers, GM or whoever, the Chinese or whoever, they fix that car in a certain order. And if you try to operate that automobile out of the order or anything, you put the car in reverse and you try to go forward. What you gonna do? Tap the transmission. So Allah has created an order for our life. I had a book I was sharing with a brother at Juma called Islamic Law, Laws and Order. You know, there's no life without order. If there was no order, Allah said he put the mountains on the earth to keep the earth balanced so it won't just break apart. So the mountains, it keeps the balance. So all life and all creation has a balance. And the balance is what keep law and order. You know, order is very important. I'm speaking on that, emphasizing that, believers, because, you know, like you said, Imam Kareem and Brother Luke, Imam Luke said probably, you know, we can't just do things like we want to do them. It's called bidda, elevation, and think we're going to get the results, the good results Allah wants for us, and we're going to do it our way. No. We have to understand, and we don't have to understand, but until we understand as human beings, Muslim human beings, that the only way that we're going to have peace on earth, and that it's in the Lord's Prayer that Christians say, I like the prayer, it ain't from Christian, it's just the truth. They say, our Father, I don't like the prayer because Allah ain't nobody's father. He's the creator, our creator who are in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is Allah's will in heaven? Allah say moral justice. His throne is sustained by moral law and order. And he created the earth to be sustained by moral law and order. What is moral? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said righteousness is good morality. And I like something else somebody said, brother, probably from California. Allah say, give of the things of the earth that are good and honorable. Allah don't accept anything we do. You got many, many Muslims who make money haram. They get it from a corrupt source. They are do things ungodly to get money, and then they give it to the ministry and think that charity, that's acceptable charity. Allah rejects that. Allah rejects anything that's haram that he has forbidden. and Allah is so merciful that he still, he says, if you ain't got nothing else to eat, he rejects, he told her, don't eat pig, don't eat the swine. But he said, that's all you got to eat. Then he will even, so merciful, permit you to eat some of the swine, but don't be indulging in that. Just eat enough to you get filled, your belly get filled, and you ain't hungry, and then don't eat no more of that swine. So what is my point? People just take it, most of them, upon themselves, and a lot of them say, I'm going to eat it here. I'm going to have heaven right here, and I'm going to have heaven in the next world. But you don't want, you look at most, listen to most Muslims and people, guess what? They don't even want to talk about death. All you know I'm talking about is that the man was talking about a football game. They're talking about a basketball game. They're talking about how many points LeBron hit. They're talking about getting them an expensive car. Whatever it is, a home. They're talking about everything that Allah created. But what about the Creator? What is the purpose? He created creation. Creation is created for the purpose of the worship of Allah, the glorification of Allah, and also to prepare you, as the Imam said, to understand that this is not Allah's world, but that you got to use this world and use everything he give you as a preparation so that you may qualify on the day of judgment to enter his kingdom in your book of deeds, having all the good outweighing the bad. And the most important thing is, it's right here. If you give me, bear with me, I'm going to read it quickly. I want to bring on another guest. This is something that I've been writing a lot. The last prophet of to all mankind was Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. He said that all people will be raised from the dead and judged based on their intentions in this world. He said all our actions start from our heart intentions. He said we as people of this world have to choose right or wrong. This means we are personally responsible for our own deeds and actions as individuals. This world will not get better on its own. You hear people talking about the bad conditions, Muslim too, but what are they doing to try to make it better? We, the people of this earth, have to have the will, to make things better or worse. Allah said in his final revelations in the Quran that he sent his revelation, the Quran, down his book of light, to heal the diseases in our hearts and as a guidance between right and wrong. But we must have the will to obey Allah's will and not follow our will. Allah said he's free of all needs, worthy of all praise. He don't need our worship. We need Allah. And Allah say, let there be no compulsion, as the Imam said, in religion. He said, truth stands out clear from error, meaning that everybody know the truth from wrong. It's created in them. Allah created the nature of good in every human being. So you don't have to even tell nobody right from wrong. They already know it. But they just make the choice which one they want to follow. And Allah said, if you follow his Quran, the guidance in this book, Quran, his final revelation, he said he will guide you all the way through this evil world into Jannah in the hereafter. And he said, if you put the Quran behind you, it will lead you straight to the hellfire, meaning you can read the Quran, be a hafiz in the Quran, but your conduct is immoral. He say it will, you don't do nothing but get farther away from him and farther and deeper into the hellfire. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Now, Auntie, thank you for being blessed again to give us a wonderful message, to bring this message of truth, not just from one Imam, has a lot less today, but from three Imams, a Sheikh and two Imams. And we want to thank all of you for this wonderful message that you're bringing to us, this information, this knowledge. And for the radio listening audience, I pray that you are receiving what you can for today, in the meal, that you expected to receive and even more, and that you will take and use that meal accordingly to help make life better for you and for others. So we want to let you know that you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Jabal, The Reality of the Creator. And again, today's discussion is a world without spiritual enlightenment. And we can again see that this world definitely is crying out for spiritual enlightenment today. And this is why we are here, to bring to you what you need for that spiritual enlightenment, to receive it. And if you don't receive it, we will not be blamed for not bringing it to you. So again, thanks, and I'm going to now call again on our guest. I think we haven't heard for a minute here, and that was Imam Abdul Karim. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Imam. Alhamdulillah, Sister Shukran. Alhamdulillah for having me on. There's a hadith, and it's a story that was narrated by Umar, radiallahu Zayd, and he talks about Abraham and how Abraham was not a Jew nor a Christian, but that he was a Hanif. And I think the best way is probably just to read it and see what the good that it could bring, inshallah, to this conversation. So if you could bear with me just for a minute, inshallah. And it was narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu that Zayd bin Amr Nawafil went to Sham, the region comprising of Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, and Jordan. He inquired about a true religion to follow. He met a Jewish scholar, and he asked him about their religion. And the Jewish scholar said to him, he said to the Jewish scholar that, "I intend to embrace your religion, so tell me something about it." The Jewish scholar said, "You will not embrace our religion unless you receive some share of Allah's anger." Zayd said, "I do not but run except from Allah's anger. And I will never bear any bit of Allah's anger if I have the power to avoid it. So can you tell me of some other religion?" The Jewish scholar said, "I don't know of any other religion except Hanif, Islamic monotheism." You know, that's what we call Hanif, just somebody who only worships Allah. Zayd inquired, he said, "Well, what is Hanif?" "Hanif," he said, "Hanif is the religion of the prophet Abraham. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. He was neither a Jew nor a Christian, and he used to worship none but Allah alone, which is the definition of Islamic monotheism, worshiping none but Allah alone." Zayd went out and met a Christian scholar after that, and he told him the same thing, that he said, I intend to embrace your religion. Tell me something about it." And the Christian scholar said to him, "You will not embrace our religion unless you get a share of Allah's curse." Zayd replied, "I don't do anything but run from Allah's curse, and I won't bear any of it or his anger if I have the power to avoid it. Will you tell me of some other religion?" The Christian scholar replied, he said, "I don't know of any other religion except Hanif, that monotheism, that singleness." Zayd inquired, said to him, "What is Hanif?" He said, what is Hanif? He said, "Hanif is the religion of the prophet Abraham. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon Abraham. He was neither a Jew nor a Christian, and he used to worship none but Allah alone. He went out seeking his Lord and found that there was only one deity worthy of worship, Allah. And Allah called him a nation. Allah called him a Khalil, like the brother said. Allah called him, said, His iman was the highest." Okay. When Zayd heard their statement about the religion of Abraham, he left that place. And when he came out, he raised both his hands and said, "O Allah, I make you my witness that I am on the religion of Abraham, on the Islam, on the monotheistic religion of Abraham." So avoiding the curse, avoiding the anger of Allah is our mission, to avoid the anger of Allah. It's not to say that, you know, all our sins are forgiven for something, for some other reason. Somebody else died for our sins, so now I'm not accountable for our sins. It's not thinking that I'm of this descendant, I'm a descendant, or I'm of this nationality, or I'm of this lineage, so all my sins will automatically be forgiven because I'm of this lineage or this nationality, or my father is such and such, or my grandfather is such and such. Your relatives don't have anything to do with you having a seat in the hellfire or a seat in the paradise. Your lineage doesn't have anything to do with it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has an uncle that's going to be in the hellfire. Abraham has a father who did not follow his guidance and is going to be in the fire. Okay?
That's right.
So your lineage, if Abraham's lineage and the Prophet Muhammad's lineage doesn't allow their lineage to get them into paradise, the lineage can't matter. And deeds, as far as deeds go, there were people who did better deeds than we will ever be able to do at any point in our life. They say if we gave away all our money, if we followed everything to the best we could, we couldn't touch the Sahaba. We couldn't touch what the Sahabas did because they met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they agreed with him, and they followed him during the time of his during his lifetime. So we can't
yes.
touch the Sahaba. I can go feed
nope.
1,000 poor people, hungry people today, and I can't touch one sujood of Umar or Abu Bakr.
That's right.
One prostration from them, I couldn't touch it. So our lineage and our good deeds, not going to do it. It's only by Allah's mercy. If we don't gain Allah's mercy by constantly trying our best, and my best might be different than your best, man, and my best might be different than the co-host's sister's best, and my best might be different than the brother in California or anybody else listening, but I'm still going to try my art best to please Allah, to follow him and do what I think pleases him. And that is the only way that I could say I have a chance of getting to paradise. Because one thing for sure that I've read is every single person within our ears distance, within our vision distance, every single person listening or with access to listen on this earth has a seat already signed with their name on it in the hellfire. And it's their choice if they're going to take that seat, if they're going to earn that seat in the fire. And they all have a place in paradise. And it's our choice or your choice, their choice, if they're going to do the things that get them to that seat in paradise. And we just look and hope and pray that with the guidance that Allah has given us, that we have a heart that's willing to follow that guidance so we can get to that seat, so we can get to that seat. And if you don't know what religion you want to be, I don't want to be a Muslim because I heard bad things about Muslims. I don't want to be a Christian because I heard crazy things about Christians. I don't want to be a Jew because the Jewish people only, you know, think that it's their lineage and I'm not of the right lineage to be a Jewish person. Whatever, you need to be on the religion, like Brother Zaid said in that hadith, on the Hanif, on the religion where I'm only going to worship God, which we call Allah because that's the name he gave to himself. Allah, which is one of the first of the names of Allah. I want to worship Allah and Allah alone. You do that, and you're going to find your way right to following the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, and inshallah, you're going to find your way right to receiving your book in your right hand and right to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which would be his paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, Brother Imam. The beautiful tafsir, understanding on Abu, our father Ibrahim, the one that established monotheism. And you know, during the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, they worshipped God for every day they had in the Kaaba. They had a God for every day. And one man came down there to worship to bring some gifts. They used to bring gifts to the Kaaba, to the gods. And one man came down to bring a gift to the gods, and he looked over there, and Prophet Muhammad was standing over there, and he looked at Prophet Muhammad, and he said, "Get me away from me here. Who is that man standing over there looking into my soul?" So this
wow.
is very important. This is very important. Because people, that man, even though he was an idolater, he still had good in his soul. Allah said he created the nature of good in every human heart. So by nature, everything Allah created is good. I want to just share another story with you because this is very important to me and dear to me, and it's dear to the whole world. During the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad, as the Imam said, Allah said they were the best generation of Muslims. They lived among the Prophet. And one brother said, Friday Jummah, after he came off Hajj, he said, "Man, what I've seen the brothers and sisters, millions of them going through on Hajj, and the Muslims over here in America," he said, "they're wimps compared even to just the Muslims over there. You have people dying, some people, they got sick, but these people were trying to obey Allah." And as brother from California, maybe Brother Idris said, you know, in other words, we want to be pleasing to Allah, and we don't want to earn Allah's displeasure. Allah says the opposite of His good pleasure, it's misery, and so we don't want to earn Allah's wrath. We want to earn Allah's good pleasure, and the only way we can earn the pleasure of our Creator, we have to please Him, do what pleases Him, not ourselves. We cannot satisfy ourselves. In the Quran, Allah says hearts do find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah. So if you want to be satisfied, you cannot get satisfaction out of anything in the world. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody, and people say they get high when they're using drugs. How can you get high? Allah is on high. When you use drugs, you're going down. You're going down in the hellfire. When you use alcohol, you're going down. Allah say, when you come to Him, you come in upright. Listen at that word, upright. Even that remind you of the day of judgment. You go, one trumpet going to be sounded, and your eyes go home, and you go, "No, I ain't dead. I thought I was dead." No, you're still alive. And then the second trumpet going to be blown. You're going to rise up from the dead grave, and you're going to be standing before Allah's judgment seat, and Allah's going to begin the judgment of you, every human being. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said the day of judgment, it's going to be like 1,000 years. Then he said, on another hand, it's going to be like 50,000 years. And he said, on another hand, it's going to be as long as Allah wanted it to be. Now, why am I saying that? Because you would think of all the people Allah created, and a lot of people, they think they're getting away. You know, and even if people don't believe that there is a judgment, that there is a hereafter, one thing all people do know, you're going to die. Now, after you die, you don't know what's going to happen, but Allah knows what's going to happen to you. And so, you know, this is a serious talk, because we are surely in the last and evil days of Satan and the evil jinn people and evil jinn spirits. And you can tell it because it's having its way with most people. But I got a movie called The Wishmaster. And The Wishmaster is this man, Satan gets into this man's body, and he walks around going trying to get souls. And check this out. He won't get sold fast enough, so he say, one place I can go and get some souls, because they're always wishing for something, is in prison. So he went to prison and asked the guys what you want, and they told him. He said, but check this out. He say, before
I grant you your wish of the material things in this world. You got to give me something too. And they say, what we got to give you? And he say, your soul. He didn't say your body or your money. He said, your soul. And that fool said, okay, I'll give you my soul. You're going to give me $1 million? And a lot said Satan threatens us with poverty and bids us to what? Conduct unseemly, ungodly. So the law says you are not wealthy if you gain the world. The law says you are wealthy if you gain his love, his spiritual knowledge and wisdom and love. You see, because everything the law says in the world going to pass away. And the law says all that's in his world going to endure forever, going to last forever. I mean, assalamu alaikum.
That's on here now. So people didn't jump on the phone. And this person has been with us for about half an hour. I'm going to give this person a chance to express themselves and join us. The number is 910-500-2448. Could you give us your name and tell us where you are calling from?
Assalamu alaikum, Mama. How you doing?
Walaikum as-salam.
Walaikum
as-salam. I didn't recognize the phone number here. Assalamu alaikum, Jihad, and how are you?
Alhamdulillah. I'm listening, man. You know, just taking heed. That's about it. I'm good, though.
Wonderful. Is there anything that you would like to say so far in listening to this beautiful broadcast? We have had, now we have three events from here today. That's really giving us a lot of knowledge and wisdom that's feeding our souls. So is there anything at this time that you would like to say?
I'm just listening in, just sucking in all the knowledge myself, you know. I'm just learning. Just taking heed.
Well, that's wonderful. That's what it's all about, brother. That's what we're here for, to learn from those with the wisdom. And to not just learn from it, but to use it to better our lives and to reach others. So thankful and glad to have you and have you enjoying yourself and enjoying our program today. Now I will give you back to, first I want to let everyone know that you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of a creator. We thank you for joining us, and we ask that you invite others to join us each Sunday morning at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And now I will see if we can call on the guest that we had from California for a minute here. Assalamu alaikum. Is there any comment this time, brother, that you would like to give to the audience? More of this good knowledge.
Wa alaikum wa salam. Alhamdulillah. Oh, man, it was beautiful, beautiful. Imam Abdul Karim, Imam Shahid. I just want to share something briefly that's in context with how what you brothers are talking about and how you brothers that I see, because you brothers are an example to me, and how you live your lives. And I'm going to share this briefly from Hadith. This is from the 40th Hadith explained by Imam Nawawi's 40th Hadith briefly. Abi Amratu Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu qala qulat ya rasulullah qul li fil islam qalin la asalu anhu ahad garuka qala qul amatu billahi duma istakim. Rawatu Muslim. Briefly translated. On the authority of Abu Amr, Abdul Amra Sufyan ibn Abdul radiallahu anhu, who said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me something about Islam that I cannot ask anyone other than you. He said, say, I believe in Allah, and then remain steadfast upon that. I believe in Allah, and then remain steadfast upon that. That's what you two brothers do. You two brothers believe in Allah, and you stay steadfast upon that. And what does that mean? That means having a very strong iman. And you too, sister, I'm including you also in this hadith. And that means based upon iman, you have a strong iman. And then the messenger used thuma, which means then, right? And as you brothers and sisters well know, that the Arabic language, in the Arabic language, you have different meanings for different words. For you can start with the root word. I'm not going to get into all that. That's a whole other topic. But with the usage of then is indicating uprightness, adhering to the straight path of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed from the prophets, truthful martyrs, and righteousness. And when a person bases his life on these two statements, he will have bliss in this life and the next. And I share this with you, brothers, because this is how you're living your lives, right? By studying and sharing this with the people. And you brothers just don't study, and I tell this to Abdul Karim all the time, you brothers just don't study, but Allah, when he brought this deen to us, and he brought the Quranic Arabic to us, he made it known that this is from now, from the time he bought it, till the end of time, right? This deen is from the time he bought it, al-Islam, till the end of time.
Yes.
So that means it applies in every single generation. We're in 2018, and you brothers know how to apply the deen in 2018. You brothers know how to make comparisons to the deen that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has narrated to us through hadith, and you brothers know how to apply it to today. And that's the important thing, right? That's the most important thing, because we could talk to non-believers and even sub-believers and tell them, well, you need to do X, Y, Z. You have to do this because the day of judgment is coming. But if they can't see, if they cannot see, it is no benefit to them. So this is why we study this deen. And I see that you brothers, and it brings a sense of calm, you know, on those days where you're like, man, why do I do this? You know? On those days when you're seeing what's happening to your tribe, not only in this country, but around the world, and you say, what's going on? But you understand that you have a Lord that has, he says that you were created in the likeness of him. He's the all seeing. We can only see a few feet ahead of us. We can't see past that, but he sees everything. He's the all hearer. We can only hear certain things, and some of us, you know, as we get older, we hear less and less. But he
That's
hears
right.
all things. You know? And when we understand this, and when we understand that our Lord has created us for a reason, and the main reason is to worship him, and we teach other Muslims how to worship him and why we have to worship him and what are his expectations and what we should expect from him. You know, it's a two-way street now. Our Lord tells us it's a two-way street. It just brings a calm to me, a peace to me, knowing that brothers like yourselves are relating this message to other Muslims and non-Muslims and doing the work, putting in the work. And you brothers and sisters, I have to be commended for this. You have to be recognized for this, you know, because it's
Shukran,
so important.
Shukran.
Yeah. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to continue this, not only in this radio station, but on the minbar, at the grocery store, at the gas station. You know, it just takes a couple of seconds, and people, and when it's coming from specifically you, brothers and sisters, when it's coming from you, people are going to see the genuine love for not only your deen but for them. Because the law, depending on what the island tells us, to love all his creation.
That's right.
So I just want to share that with you, brothers, and tell you, Brother Shakar, you know, for the work you put in.
Brother.
Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. F1, brother. Well said, and the most important thing is that that I love about all of you all on the program is I can feel in my soul the sincerity as you all talk. And being that I'm around my beautiful brother Abdul Kareem, I see the humility he impresses me, and it helps me in my humility to Allah, just seeing him, and not only seeing him, but seeing his actions along with his deed, I mean his words. Allah say we must be true in word and deed, what you just said, brother. A lot of Muslims, a lot of people, in fact, most people and most Muslims, they were taught, and they can talk a good Islam. But then when it comes time to do, you don't see most of them wanting for their brother what they want for themselves. And what do we mean by want for our brother? Our brother is mankind. You can't just want good for the Muslims and not want Muslims good for the Christians and the Jews and the Buddhists and the Hindus and everybody else. You got to want good for everybody, because Allah said his love is for all his creation, and if we're going to serve him, our love must be for all. This is something here I write a lot, and it says the key to freedom is in giving Allah back the limited free will he gave us as human beings. Now, let's speak on that for a while. Allah gave us as human beings a limited amount of freedom of will to choose right from wrong, good from evil. And Allah says freedom, and in his book, Allah says freedom is that Allah freed us so that we could what? Willingly accept his will. But a lot of us mistake that and think because I got free will. And they came out with a song when I was coming up back. I'm in my 60s. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Don't let nobody tell you who to sock it to. And then it was another song that described not only the United States, most of the people, but the world of people. One nation under the groove, getting down just for the funk of it. One nation, we are on the move. No one can stop us now. What Satan was saying, I got this nation right here. And I got them under my groove of evil. And ain't nobody going to stop us now from our evil. And Satan has went all over the earth. He told Allah, I'm going to go all over the earth to northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest. I'm going to go at them from every which way. And you ain't going to find most of them even giving you no thanks for even creating them, let alone for all the good you do to them. Satan has proved that to be a fact. But Allah ain't concerned with numbers. Allah told him, I give you permission. And Satan asked for permission to do this until the day we are raised up from the dead, as the brother from California was saying. We have to serve Allah, Allah said, until the hour that's certain, that's the hour of our death. And since we don't know when that hour is going to be, you should live every day of your life like it's your last day. And at the same time, you should live it like you're going to live forever. And you know you can't live forever here, so that means you're always in a state prepared for Jannah. And Allah say, do not accept in a state of what? Submission to his will, which is what? Islam. Islam. Islam means submission to the will of the Creator. And Islam, when you submit to the Creator's will, what do you get? You get salam, peace. And when you reject his will, what do you get? You get misery. You get hell. So, you know, it's our choice. Like the brother said, I say that often to myself, just talking to Allah. everything I said, the pens are lifted and the pages are dry. Everything is already written. Everybody got their own. You Allah said every person's fate, F-A-T-E, is fastened on your own neck. Meaning you control your own destiny, whether you're going to hell or heaven. You determine that. Don't be talking about Satan made me do this wrong, my brother, my family. No. Allah didn't say that. He said every person's fate is fastened around their own neck. And even the Shaitan say in the Quran, Lord, I fear Allah. And he say, when people come on the day of judgment saying, the devil made me do it, he going to say, he had no power to make you do anything. Allah didn't give me such power. Only thing Allah gave me the ability to do is to suggest to you, is to instigate you to try to suggest that you do wrong. But it's your choice, and you chose to follow me in the wrong of that world, the material world. But also now, Satan said Allah called you too. But you didn't listen to Allah's call. You didn't answer his call. And Allah said his call is to a home of peace. He said, who will answer my call? Now, you got all these Muslims and people talking about they want to go to Jannah, right? Prophet Muhammad said, work is worship. You don't see Muslims working. You don't see people in religion working to try to make this world better. You see? You don't see that. What you see a world of people who act like the world going to get better just by talking about the problem. You either part of the problem or the solution. And like the Bible said, if you submit to Allah's will in Islam, you're part of the solution. If you reject Allah's will in the Quran, you're part of the problem, whether you say you're Muslim or not. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you. Thank you. Imam Shaheed Shabazz. The reality of the Creator you're listening to, and it is brought to you every Sunday, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today we have had such a beautiful show. We don't like to say come to an end. We wish it continued, but it's time now. I think we have about 10 minutes left here. So at this time, we'll need to close out with Talat and thank all of you, our beautiful guests from Winston Salem and California. Thank you for joining us this morning. Please come again next Sunday, same time. Invite others to join us too and listen in. And also, Mr. Shabazz, we do have your cousin here from Richmond. He is religiously supporting us every Sunday, and he's here today listening in to the broadcast. And we want to thank him very much for joining us again today.
Absolutely.
Again, until next Sunday, we greet you. Assalamu alaikum. And I'm Shaheed Shabazz. And now, lead us in salah.
Well, I'm going to give a surprise. I want your sons you had to lead us in prayer, if he's willing to do that, if he's still on.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yawm ad-Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin.
Thank you again. You have been listening today to the broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. Next Sunday, same time, dial the number that we give to you, 347-884-8511, and come and join us with our show, the reality of the Creator, Imam Shaheed Shabazz. Until then, have a most blessed day.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Allah has promised us that He always lie, one who would forbid the wrong, one who would enjoy the right. And from the day you were born, that promise was kept true. There was so much work to do, but something special about you, and that something told us the time had come, and you would be the one who fulfilled all the hopes, all the dreams and prayers, and get the job done. There were many roads and I